Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Kiddushin Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Bet, taking a look right now at the end of Mishnah Hay, which describes the relationship between Nechazim Sheish Lamachrayut and Nechazim Sheein Lamachrayut. I'm looking at the issue of Gilgul Shvua, that if you are in a case where you can force the opposite person to take a Shvua about Metaltalin, you can throw in Karka, which normally you can't take a Shvua on. But you can throw it in. Amar Ula. Minayin legilgul shvua min haTorah. What's the source? This shit Amar. Amrai shah amen amen. The Sota, after being administered the oath, says amen amen. The Mishnah in Sota says, why does it say amen twice? Amen al ha'ala, amen al shvua. One version is, it says amen on the imprecation and amen on the oath. Amen imi yishzeh. Amen imi yish acher. Not only the man you suspected me with, and you have a testimony about Stira, but any other man. Amen shelo satiti arusa unisua, or shomer tevamu knusa. Those are two pairs. She's taking a shvua that she did not violate the relationship even as an arusa, or even as a shomer tevam. Now, here's the issue. Hi arusa echidami. How could an arusa even be on the table for Sota? If you think that the husband warned her before they were even married and gave her to drink then, she had stira then. The Mishnah says they can't drink because we have kadmash chivat baal leboel. The husband had to have relations with her before the adulterer, theoretically. My time, Ella the Kani Lakshi Arusa must have been that here she had the warning when she was an Arusa. Venista Rakshi Arusa, and she had Stira when she was an Arusa, but Kamashki Lakshi Nasua. But now that she's married, he finds out about it, now he's giving her a drink. So Mi Bad Kilamaya, since when does that work? Vinika Ishmiavona Rahmana. It has to be that the man is cleansed at least of sexual sin for her to be checked. And this guy married her after the stira that was inappropriate also. So he's not in the clear, and therefore the water won't work, and therefore we can't give the water to her. El Alide Gilgul must be Gilgul. In other words, there was a normal Sota case where she was married and married for a while, and then he was Makane, and there was stira, and he gave her a drink, and while he gave her a drink, he threw in, I want you to also take a shvua about any earlier indiscretion. Now, Ashkachan Sota de Isura. So we find in the case of Sota, you can do Gilgul Shvua, and that's in the case of Isura. Mamona Manal, and how do we know that you apply it to the whole other area of halacha of Mamonot? Tanavi Shmuel Kavachomer. He says, a Kavachomer. Ma Sota Shalom Nitana Lahitava Be'erechad. There's no way in the world that Sota will ever happen with only one aid, because almost everybody agrees you need two aidim, except Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, for Stira. So if in that case where one aid could never do it, Megalgalin, nonetheless you could do Gilgul, in other words, once you have your two aidim, you could throw in other things. Remember, if a person makes a claim and he has one aid that his claim is accurate, the other person has to take a shvua. One witness can create a claim. Certainly we should be able to apply Gilgul. Now, Ashkechan Mevadai, but all we know so far is in the case of Vadai, which means if I have a claim that I know for sure you owe me this. Sofik Menalan, how do I know that I could apply it even when I have a Tanat Shema? I don't know what happened to you. I'm not claiming that I know what happened to the Pikaron I gave you, but I'm claiming that, something went awry. Tanya Mishbi Omer, Nemra Shvua Bachutz, Nemra Shvua Bifnim. A Shvua is mentioned about a Sota, who's Bifnim in the Mikdash in the Azara, and a Shvua is mentioned Bachutz, meaning in a normal case of interaction. So Mashvua Omer Bifnim, just like the Shvua that said in the Mikdash, Asaba Safek Vadai, after all, the whole issue of Sota is she's a Safek, we treat it like a Vadai. Hashvua Omer Bachutz, Asaba Safek Vadai. The same thing with a Shvua said elsewhere. All right, good. So now we see where Gilgul Shvua comes. We see why Gilgul Shvua applies to Mamonot, and we see why it applies even in the case where the claimant only has a Tanat Shema. Now, Ad Heichan Gilgul Shvua. How far can you take Gilgul Shvua? To what extent? What kind of things can you throw in? He said, guy comes to somebody else, has a claim against him for Metaltalin, has a Shvua, and he says, you know what? While you're at it, I claim you're my Eved, and Eved meaning Eved Kanani here. And take an oath that it's not the case. What are you talking about? I mean, in such a case, the claimant would be thrown into chayrim. If somebody calls another fellow an evid, he really makes such a claim. He's in chayrim. He's really casting aspersions on him. Mamzer, if somebody calls somebody else a mamzer. Sofek et Arbaim, he gets Makat Mardut for making a claim about this guy's lineage and affecting his children, etc. Rasha, if somebody calls somebody else a Rasha, you're already Molachayav. Then he's really hurting his life, but he doesn't have any, the fellow has no claim against him, and there's no action Beit Din will take. All right, so it can't be that the fellow claims you're my Eved. Ela Amaravi Shavali Shalim Kartali Be'Eved Ivri. He says, I claim that you were sold to me as an Eved Ivri. Take a Shvuah, that's not the case. That's how far you could take Gilgul Shvuah. You have a regular Shvuah on Metaltalin. I gave you 100 barrels, you only returned 50. And while we're at it, I claim you were sold to me as an Eved Ivri. Take a Shvuah, that's not the case, which you could normally, not normally administer. Now, Hai Tanata Malaitahi. Wait a second, the claim of Eved Ivri is a very good claim. It's not Gilgul Shvuah. My money, Legabe. I'm claiming that you owe me money. That's a good claim by itself. So the answer is Rava Latame. Rava is following his own reasoning that we saw earlier. De'ama Rava, Eved Ivri, Gufo Konui. And Eved Ivri's body is really owned by the master. So Yachi Hanu Karka. If that's the case, then it's Karka. Then it's no different than any other Karka. And we already saw Gilgul Shvuah works. What's the Chiddush? The answer is Ma'udatema. Karka hu da'avdi inshi de mizavnu mitzina. Karka is the kind of thing that people might sell quietly. Imita dissolving, they call it. Could be that he sold it and there's no call. We wouldn't know about it, and that's why we allow the Gilgul. Haim ita dissolving, but if a guy was sold as an Eved Ivri, call it, everybody would know about it. And therefore, the guy's making a claim against something that we've never heard about, we should ignore. Kamash Malan, that even that you could do Gilgul Shvuan. And now we look at the beginning of Mishnah Vav. It's broken up into two halves. Kol ha-naseh damim ba'acher. It's kind of a confusing Mishnah. The way that it reads is anything that becomes evaluated by something else. We'll see what that means. We're talking about barter. So he said, the minute that one party takes his side, the other fellow owns the other side and is liable for whatever happens to it. Ketzad, so how does this work? Hechlif shor bapara. Let's say you swapped an ox for a cow, or chamor b'shor, or a donkey for an ox. Once the first guy holds on to the thing that he's buying, the other fellow already owns its opposite number, and if something happens to him, it's on his dime. Now, the way that to then read the opening part of the Mishnah is, anything that has become evaluated to be swapped for another, the minute that you take, that one party takes possession of the thing he's buying, the other part becomes the property of the other fellow. Okay. Now, our first read of it is to think that the thing is chalipin. Chalipin my nihu matbea. We think that you're actually swapping money here. Meaning you're paying for something. Shmamina matbea nasa chalipin. So you're going to tell me that money can be used for chalipin? We don't think so. I'm Rav Yehuda Achikamar. This is how it should read. And Rav Yehuda is simply saying it the way that we explain the Mishnah. Kol ha-nishom damim b'acher. Anything that's appraised to have money value. Kevan she-zachazen chayev ha-chalifan. Fin. De-ganamini tani ketzad echlif shor b'para o chamor b'shor shmamina. And he proves it from the fact that we don't mention money, we mention animals. Now, the rest of the sugya, the short sugya, is devoted to trying to figure out what were we originally thinking. Well, l'malat de-salik adatin mikar de-matbea nasa chalipin. According to our original thinking, then matbea becomes the chalipin, my ketzad. Why do we give the examples of the animals? So hachikamar peirot nami avdi chalipin, to try to prove that peirot can also be chalipin, ketzad, hechlif basar shor bepara. Let's say you swapped the meat of an ox for a para, or basar chamor b'shor, or the meat of a donkey for a shor. That's peirot. Kevan shezachazem chayiv b'chalipin, to show you that peirot work. But that's a machloket. Hanechal Rav Sheshet Amar Perot Avdi Chalipin. Rav Nachman Amar Perot Lo Avdi Chalipin. Famously, Rav Nachman says Perot can't be used as Chalipin. Ma'ikal Amemar. You need Kalim for Chalipin. Hachikamar. So according to him, according to Rav Nachman, how did we originally read the Mishnah, which was wrong anyways? Yesh Damim Shein Ka Chalipin. It means that there is some money that should be treated like Chalipin. Ketzad. Hechlif Demei Shor B'Para. Let's say you put the money down, the value of a shore, and swapped it for a para. Demei Chamor B'Shor. That works. My time, huh? Why? Savalak Rabbi Yochanan Devar Dvar Torah Ma'od Konot. We've already seen this, that Rabbi Yochanan holds Midoraita Metaltlin are bought when the money is transferred. Midoraita. And therefore, the minute you get the money, the other fellow already owns the cow or whatever. Umatam Amru Meshicha Kona. So now, why did the rabbis say that Meshicha is what's Kona? Gzeira Shema Yomar Lenisofuchitecha Balia. It's a gzera because I'll buy something from you, and after I give you the money, you're going to tell me, oh, your thing got burned up just now. Milta. So therefore, we say you don't take possession until you actually physically take possession. And therefore, if something happens in the meantime, it's on the seller's dime. Now, Milta de Shcheach Gazu Barabbanan. So the Rabbanan made the Gzeira of Meshicha. This is according to Rabbi Yochanan, only in a common sort of commerce. Milta de Lo Shcheach, but in an uncommon commerce like what we have here, Lo Gazu Barabbanan. So that's the way that Rav Nachman will explain it, because he says Parrot Law of the Chalipin has to be about money. Well, the Rish Lakish dar Meshicha mefresh min haTorah, but Rish Lakish is the one who says that mi d'oraita Meshicha is the kinyan, and the kesef is the d'rabbanan aspect. Ha necha isavra lak Rav Sheshet. So if he holds like Rav Sheshet, d'amar perot avdi chalipin, so mataritz Rav Sheshet. Now this again is all within our original read of the Mishnah, which we discarded. But then he'll have to explain the Rav Sheshet that said perot avdi chalipin, and what we're talking about is basar shor. Mataritz Rav Sheshet. Ala isavra lak Rav Nachman. If he holds like Rav Nachman, d'amar perot avdi chalipin, mat be'al okani. Therefore, there's no deal here that's been successful. For my Mokila, what would have been his original read? The answer is, Al-Korchak Rav Sheshet Tzvirali. We would have had to say that Rav Shlakish held like Rav Sheshet, that Perot Avdi Chalipin. Of course, we have to not say, have to say any of that, because we end up saying here that you really are swapping an animal for an animal, and the point is that it has to be, once it's appraised, that's why I call on Nisho Anas Domin Ba'acher. All right, the second half of Mishnah Vav is Rishut HaGavoa B'Kesef. The Rishut, the domain of Hekdesh, happens B'Kesef, and we'll see what that means. Rishut HaHedyot B'Chazaka. But the rest of us are Kona B'Chazaka. Amiratol HaGavoa K'Mesiratol HaHedyot. Your oral commitment to the Hekdesh is tantamount to your handing something over to a regular citizen commerce. Now, it's a very, very opaque Mishnah, and the Brita that we have here clarifies. How does that work? The Gizbar of the Mikdash gave money to someone to buy the Behema. The Behema immediately becomes his, even if it's on the other side of the world. You don't need to do Mesira. But with a regular citizen buying an animal, the Kinyan is not valid until he actually takes possession. Now, how about the second half? Ha'omer shor zeh ola bayitz hekdesh. The minute you declare whether it's kedusha domim or kedusha taguf, this shor is an ola, or this house is hekdesh. Filu b'sof ha'olam kana. Even if you're talking about something that you own on the other side of the world, it's kana. V'hedyot lo kana ad shim shoch v'yachzik. V'hedyot, the kinyan is not valid until you take possession. Now, mashchov mana. Watch this case. Let's say that somebody wanted to redeem something from hekdesh. He took it from hekdesh when it was worth 100. The markets were fluctuating like crazy. Before he had a chance to pay up, it went up to 200. Notain matayim, you have to pay 200. Why? Matayimah, natana kesef akamlo. Because it's when you give the kesef, then it becomes yours. That pasuk, by the way, is not really a pasuk. It's a hybrid of several pasukim. We already had it earlier in the Masechet. Mashchob matayim, let's say you pulled it and it was 200. Veloi spiklif totoad shaman b'maneh. But before you paid the money, it went down to 100. Notain matayim, you still have to give the higher amount. Why? This is the Mishnah B'Metzia that says Yana Hekdesh Ta'ala Aliyona. The Hekdesh always has the upper hand. You would say Koach Hedyot shouldn't be better than Hekdesh. Remember, with a regular guy, if you pull something at a certain value, it becomes yours. And if the value goes down, you still have to pay the higher amount because you already took a kinyan, made a kinyan. So Hekdesh shouldn't be worse off. Now, the Obama time, let's say the opposite. Let's say you paid first. You paid 200. Really speak, and before you grabbed it, it went down to 100. Notain matayim. It's 200. Why? Matama, notana kesef akamlo. It's the giving of the kesef. That's the pinyon. So that's the value. You can't say I want 100 back. However, the Obama time, really speak, let's say you paid the 100. And you, before you grabbed it, it went up. Mashabada padue. That's a valid kinyan. You don't have to pay an extra 100. Why don't we say a hedyot should not be any stronger than hekdesh? The answer is, think about this. If I agree to sell you something at 100, and you buy it, and then it goes up to 200, and I turn around and say, I'm not going to give it to you, or I'm not going to agree to let you go until you give me the other 100, then I am somebody who's not omed b'diburo, I'm not living up to my words. And therefore, I stand under the curse of Misha parami anshei dor mabulim, anshei dor palagahu, yi parami, misha no omed b'diburo. He who exacted punishment from the Dor Mabul and Dor Palaga will exact punishment from somebody who does not live up to his word. So therefore even a hedyot could not claim more. So Hekdesh doesn't have a claim either way. Its own essential kinyan, the Kesef, already happened with 100. The Meshicha, which we're saying, shouldn't be any worse off than hedyot. A hedyot also wouldn't have a claim here. So therefore Hekdesh cannot claim more. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We have the very famous Mishnah Zayin, Komitzvot Avin Al-Av, and the whole sugya of Kibud Avayim and of Talmud Torah. Some very major sugyot coming up. In the meantime, we'll pause at this point. Wish everybody a wonderful day.